Well, first of all, Tony, congratulations on your new post. Is this something that you kind of have sought after yourself, or have you been headhunted to come and do this?
To be honest with you, it's something obviously I'm very passionate about with the national teams, but I got a phone call from the chairman, Richard Greaveson, and Gary Brown, who's a commercial director for Ice UK, probably about, I don't know, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and just asking them, they're looking at, obviously, and they've got, again, great vision about where they want to see the national teams in the coming future. So, and they approached me and said, would you be interested in taking this role on? And I said, definitely. Again, it's a great role to be able to, obviously, work in with all these. And there's a lot of great coaches, a lot of good players. And basically, what you're trying to do is just find a pathway for our juniors and for our players to be able to see light at the end of the tunnel once you get to that higher level of elite league players. And that's what we're trying to do. We're basically just trying to find a way to help everybody, myself and Mark Becks, where we could work with the coaches and work with the players and the staff to get the best out of our program. What we're trying to do is find a way bigger pool of players that the elite league teams would be happy to have on their rosters, and obviously that would hopefully benefit the seniors national teams in years to come.
You know, it almost seems that because you're saying this, Tony, that there's a lot of weight behind what you're saying, because, you know, when you look at your accolades, the fact that you got 4,000 points in your career, you were the first ice hockey player to be honoured, you were the first British player to get picked up for an NHL team. Do you think, how have things changed from when you were kind of going through those kind of big successes to where we are now? Has there been a kind of drawback?
Yes, well, to be honest with you, when I first started, I've lost it, I'm that old now, Claire, I can't remember how long ago it was, but I made the mistakes like a long time ago, and I learned from the mistakes, and that's why like the fitness was so important as a player, the determination and commitment to playing on a team, the commitment to your coaches and to your teammates, and obviously excelling. Is important. Is you start the process when you're 12, 14 year old. You don't start at 18 year old and say, I want to start being a good ice hockey player. We have to start the process way in advance. And that's maybe something that we have been sort of neglecting as a country. We do try, it's tough because there's not so many ice rinks like you would have in Scandinavia. But we have to start the process somewhere. And I want to teach and help work with the coaches and the players, and I keep saying the staff, to get to not make the mistakes. And the mistakes I made when I was younger, I've got the experience now and the knowledge to hopefully can put everyone in the right direction. But I just say it's to work with people and work along with the board and everyone else involved. It's not just myself. It's going to be a whole package of people to help get this in the right direction.
I mean, you mentioned there the mistakes that you made when you were younger. I have to ask, what were they?
Oh, well, when I went to Edmonton's camp in the NHL, I went there, I thought, like, I'd worked out all summer and I thought I'd be the fittest guy in camp. And when I'd done the fitness levels, I was probably out of 60, I was probably about the 50th fittest person in camp. and I thought I was so far behind times in Britain, because I was just coming from Scotland. We were so far behind the times about our what were expectations on the ice, off the ice, and what we have to do is bring them all together. There's no point in having been a fantastic player on the ice if you can only go for the first 5 minutes of the game. We need to produce athletes. We need to produce, again, quality, skillful players, and obviously we need to have that team ethic and commitment for the national teams. And that's just, obviously, there's more mistakes than that, but that's probably the first one I made. But I learned from that pretty quick, and I said, okay, from now on, I'm going to be in as good a shape as I can to be able to play at that high level, and you need to do that.
Let's talk about coaching as well. I mean, obviously, you've played such a big part, certainly for Manchester. It's your 10th year now with Manchester Phoenix. I know there's been ups, downs, roller coasters, and round around, and a bit of silverware.
Yeah, it's all going in my book. I'm writing a book, so I'll be going in there.
Buy it in a well-known bookstore in the future.
Yeah.
One of the things you're also doing is, going to be helping coaching staff as well. But I just wonder, with the rise of imports, say, Elite League and EPL, is that something that you kind of find quite hard? And how have you had to kind of adapt to be a good coach rather than just a good player or player coach?
Well, I think as coaches, we're all still learning. I know if any coach tells you that he knows everything, he's getting yourself on. And as a coach, it's like everything else. I was fortunate as a player. I learned to adapt as a player and obviously stay with the imports that came in there, because it just, at one time, I think I was only maybe an air, maybe Weaver, I think, maybe. We only had like one British guy on the team, like in the Super League days. So there's probably a lot more Brits going around just now than it was in the Super League days. But I think you have to adapt. You've always got to be learning. I mean, I'm continuously trying to improve myself as a coach. And obviously the experience, I think you need a lot of experience to work with coaches, because I think that's where, like you say, Alex Ferguson was absolutely fantastic. Not only was knowledgeable, but he had the experience and the skill sets to put it to practice. And I think some things with coaches, people don't realise experience means so lot when it comes to making decisions about players. And I think I've learned to sort of adapt and obviously hopefully improve as a coach.
I mean, I can't let you go without kind of saying the fact that you've kind of been Dundee, Edinburgh, Belfast, Sheffield. What's your kind of opinion of the Elite League? Do you ever still follow it, or are you kind of head down in EPL land?
I keep an eye on, as much an eye on that as I do in the EPL. I think they've got a good league. I think they realise that they've got a good business model just now. They're getting their act together with their discipline. They're getting their act together, media wise. They're strong. You can see, they look at Sheffield had a great. I know they had a tough time against the Austrian team.
Yes.
They've done really well against the Swedish team. They're only getting down 2 goals. I mean, if that had been 10 years ago, I think the Swedish team would have probably beat us by about 20 goals. So there is that development there, which is great to give us the standard, and it gives the British guys a standard to reach. But in the same token, though, I would in years to come, I know it's going to happen this year, I would like to see way more British guys be in that programme. And that's the only way, because they're full-time professionals. They're on the ice, training 4 times a week, playing twice a week, and they're in that game situation and that competition every day. And for us to be successful, we have to get players into that system.
I was just going to say, as a coach, in EPL, do you think that the gap is getting wider between Elite League and EPL, and why are we not seeing more people come through EPL and like a natural promotion?
I don't think the gap is getting wider. I think the EPL is You'd be surprised if you look at some of the teams. You've got Guildford, Milton Keynes, well, Basingstoke, Telford. Obviously, I'm missing out a few teams. Hopefully, Manchester. Don't get me wrong, we're not elite. We're not kidding ourselves on. We've got a different model. We've got like maybe 14, 15 British guys are on the team, and we've got allowed 5 imports. But in the same token, though, there is the gap isn't as bad. Obviously, I think the top teams like your Sheffields, Nottinghams, Belfast, Cardiff would be a little bit different. That's a little bit different, because they're probably just with their talent and their spending power, and there's no way that EPL would even get close to them. But I think the top EPL teams, I wouldn't, don't get me wrong, it would be tough for them against the Elite League teams, but it wouldn't be as one-sided as what teams think. I don't think it would win a lot of games, but I don't think they would be as embarrassed as maybe what people would think they would do.
Yeah. One of the things that, your name came up a lot when there was a position that came up for head coach for Edinburgh Capitals when Riley Emerson left at the end of last season. Was it a position that you considered or were asked about?
I never even heard about it, to be honest with you.
Didn't you?
My cousin runs the team, Scott, and I'm good friends with Scott, but I'm committed to Manchester. I've got a good relationship with Neil Morris and the fans and the players there, and we've got a new rink coming, so I've always been committed to getting that rink sorted and making sure, and hopefully build Manchester and the Phoenix up again, because we've been through a lean spell the last couple of years with off-ice situation, but hopefully that's going to get rectified in the next few months, and hopefully we can start being a force again.
Tony, congratulations on your new post, and no doubt we'll catch up with you in a few months to find out how you're getting on.
Okay, thanks very much for calling.